Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, let me read them. You know them off by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge, and he will make your path straight. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to say thank you again for filling us with your Spirit that allows us to understand things of the kingdom, allowing us to grasp your word, allowing us to hear your voice, allowing us to sense your presence. Thank you for that. Many of us were separated from you for years of our life. And the greatest miracle we will ever know is you coming in and changing from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Before we begin this morning, I ask for a fresh anointing, Holy Spirit. You would take literal possession again of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the word that is going to be sown. I command you now to be silent. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. You will not interfere. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking. In these days, you are speaking to your children, you are speaking to your church, and your church is hearing your voice. I thank you today that you're going to say things in here that are not going to come out of my mouth. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower every one of your sheep to hear it, to know that it's you, to capture it, and to be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you can literally change everything. And so by faith, I say thank you in advance that this word will not return void. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. I would like to read you one verse. We're wrapping up the series of Kingdom Solution this morning. I'd like you to read one verse out of Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 26, and would you hear this gently? It says this: those who trust their own insight are foolish. Those who trust their own insight are foolish. But anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. This morning, we're going to finish off the series we began some time ago, looking at the whole area of Kingdom Solutions, discovering and experiencing God's third heaven solution to our first and second heaven problems. We've talked about that in the series already. 2 weeks ago, we began looking at the beliefs that exist in the lives of those who seek and discover Kingdom Solutions, and we used the story of the two women who ran out of gas on the road. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago when we talked about that story? Yes. Discovering God's kingdom solution. I told you that we were going to look at 10 beliefs, and that day we began by looking at just one of them, the foundation upon which all of the other 9 are built. Does anybody remember that first belief that we needed for kingdom solution? Anybody remember? God is with us and in us. Exactly right. The contrast between the orphan spirit, which lives unconscious of God's presence, and the spirit of sonship that lives with a continual awareness of the presence of God in our life. We use the example of the mouse and the elephant. Most all of us have heard that story before. If you've not heard it, I encourage you to go back and to listen to that message from 2 weeks ago. Today, let's finish off with the other 9. And I want to just say this for the sake of time. I am going to move through these 9 fairly quickly. I got to tell you, as I was preparing this over the last number of weeks, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to take one Sunday and give a sermon on every one of these 10. But we're not going to do that. I trust that as I give you these today, this will encourage you to go deeper with every one of them as you develop a kingdom solution mindset. And I want to prophetically declare today, I want to declare God's will what's not yet as though it already were. I want to declare that every mind under the sound of my voice has a heart to develop a kingdom solution mindset. I declare today this will not just disappear and be forgotten. I declare the development of the kingdom solution mindset will be developed and matured for the rest of our life. I prophetically declare that in Jesus' name. I want to begin, I'm not going to write this on the board. If I wrote it on the board, I would write orphan spirit, and over here I would write sonship. All of these 10 in kingdom solution mindset come under the category of sonship. Would you write down number 2? The first is God with me and in me. Beginning number 2, would you write this? God cares for me. God cares for me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, what does the Bible say? Cast all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I want to tell you one of the great designs of the enemy, which we as believers are not to be ignorant of. One of his designs is to bring us to the place where we really don't believe that God actually cares about us or cares about the little circumstances and problems in our life. If we don't live with a belief that he literally cares, I want to tell you honestly, it will not be the first thing we do when we get into a situation to go, I want to turn to him because he cares. Let me tell you, if we don't believe he cares, we will not turn in that direction. When you get a revelation on the inside of you that as a child with a loving, present parent, there isn't a thing in my life that God doesn't care about. The big things, the Red Sea in front of me that I don't know how to split, the little things, the borrowed axe head that flew off my handle and landed in the water. Does God care about that? Obviously. Can we look at that verse again just for a second? Before we do, I want to just ask you this. How many of you actually believe that the Bible is the Word of God? I just need affirmation. Okay, we're in a group of believers here. We actually believe this, right? Look at what that verse says. It says this, and answer it for me. It says, cast. Let me ask that again. Cast. Oh, let's just stop right there. How many of you believe in the Bible again? Just raise your hand. How many of you struggle with the Bible sometimes? Yeah. If all we did was look at that verse, it says, cast all of them because God cares for you. We go back and God says, you're my kid. This is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to cast how many? All. Just say all. Just say it again. All. If I rewrote it to read, cast only the big ones on him. After you've tried everything in your logic, reason, education, experience, your toolbox, when your toolbox is empty, cast that care on him. The truth is that actually represents many or all of our lives at one time or another. You got a brain. Remember, we talked about this. You got a brain. Use it. You don't have to bother God. Let me remind you of the best example we have. How often did Jesus turn to the Father to get a kingdom solution to the issues that he encountered when he was on earth? How many times? All. Do you think he fulfilled scripture? Cast all. And can I ask you this? When Jesus cast all, even the little one, did that make him weak? Or did that make him wise? Every word, every action, not a single independent one. Jesus lived aware of the Father's presence with him continually, and he lived with the belief the Father cares about everything, and so he turned to him for everyone. Would you write down number 3? God's ways are higher than mine. God's ways are higher than mine. Let me read Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can I ask you a question? And I know I'm pulling it here. How many of you actually remember the 4 points to walk in the fear of the Lord? How many of you remember them? You could stand up and just tell them to me today. The 4 points. I won't make you do it, Dana. Let me give you the first two. The first one in this is walking in the fear of the Lord. The first one is this: there is a God. And the second one is this: God is smarter than me. Would you just say that with me? God is smarter than me. And would you just say that even if you don't believe it? God is smarter than me. Would you say it even if you're not living it? God is smarter than me. The reality is, when it comes to solving any issue in our life, let me say this to you, we will turn to the smartest person in our world. That's where we will automatically turn. And the enemy has successfully made the majority of people, even in the church, look to themselves for the solution. Do you know why? Because we believe we're the smartest one. It sounds ludicrous when you think about it. It's like a 3-year-old standing beside their father who is right there, fully believing, Dad, I am smarter than you. I know how to do this. We would look at that and go, how ludicrous. And yet that's the picture in the church with God and his children all the time. Let me tell you this. Kingdom solution people, they believe God is smarter than them. They believe God is smarter than them. In every circumstance, they believe God is smarter. Can I give you a couple examples? Did Moses believe God was smarter than him? Yep. Did Gideon believe God was smarter than him? Yep. Did David believe God was smarter? Yep. Did Jesus believe God was smarter? Yep. Did the disciples believe God was smarter? Yeah. Did Bill Winston believe God was smarter? Did the women who ran out of gas in the car believe God was smarter? Do you see a theme going on here? The question is, do you believe God is smarter than you? Do you believe he knows of solutions that in a million years we could never, ever come up with? I love the example. How long would it take us to come up with throwing a piece of wood in the water to have the axe head rise? We answered that the other week. We went in a million years in our group. We'd have never come up with it. It's because it's a kingdom solution. We talked about this. Where is the first place people run to get an answer? Now in our world today, most people Google it. I was thinking about this when God and I were writing this down. Wouldn't it be really cool to change it? Instead of running to Google, we would run to Goddle? Wouldn't that be cool if there was an app called Goddle and we run over there and go, God'll answer my problem. God has the answer. Can you imagine a Goddle app instead of a Google app? If you go there, I get half the royalty. That's all I'm saying, okay? Would you write down number 4? Kingdom solution mindset, God speaks. God speaks. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says this, in the past, God spoke in many and various ways. Verse number 2, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. In John 16, his Son has spoken to us and said this, it is to your advantage that I leave, because when I do, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will what? Lead you into all truth. Let me ask you a question. If a person had a belief that God does not talk to his children, what would the likelihood be that his children would talk to him? I had a conversation with someone this past week on the phone, and they said, for years of their life, they did not believe that God talked to them, and so there was no prayer life. They did not believe that God talked, that they would talk to God. They go, why would I talk to him if he doesn't talk to me? I could tell you the church that they went to for years. Until all of a sudden they stepped out of that church, stepped into a different place, began hearing someone talking about the fact that God speaks to his children, and all of a sudden it kind of woke up on the inside, and they recognized they'd been believing a lie for their entire life. I will never forget in my journey, I would read in the Old Testament, and I would get to the part where God and Moses were talking to each other. I shared this when I did the Hearing God series years ago. I got to the point hearing, reading about God talking to Moses and God talking back, and they had a conversation back and forth, and all of a sudden it just began rising up inside of me going, I want that. If Moses can have that with God, a conversation going back and forth, I want that. If God could talk to Adam, I want that. If he could talk to Abraham, I want that. If God could have a conversation with David, why not me? They heard him. They understood him. They answered back. It was a conversation. God, can you do that with me? If I don't believe God will speak to me, not likely I will look at him for kingdom solutions, but I want to tell you, when I believe he speaks, and he speaks to me, and with that, I believe. Would you write down number 5? With that belief that God speaks, the next one is, God has empowered me to hear his voice. When I believe that, I begin turning to him going, God, I believe you speak, and I believe you empower me to hear. I'm going to start seeking solutions. Sitting in a hospital emergency room with a broken collarbone, God is telling me to go to church Sunday and have the pastor pray for me. What did she? She believed that God spoke to her. Can I tell you what was so funny? She was probably only 100 feet from Unit 3. You know what I'm saying? Sitting in a lawyer's office with divorce papers in front of her, God is telling me to not ask for anything, but to give him everything. She was going, God spoke to me. God told me not to fight for anything. Parked on the side of the road with no fuel. Fill your tank up with water and then pray over it. She believed God spoke to her. She believed she heard from God. I want to tell you, for years, the enemy has lied to God's kids that God doesn't speak anymore to his children other than through his written word. Can I say, there's still people preaching today, the only way God speaks is through his word. That is the only way. And if he does speak, only the Pope can hear him, or the priest can hear him. It is not for regular believers in the pew. But I want to tell you, when revelation comes, my sheep hear my voice. When revelation comes, because of Holy Spirit inside of us, I can hear the voice of God as clearly as Jesus. Everything changes. All I need to do now is maybe learn how to hear. But I believe I can hear. God is speaking and I can hear him. I am his sheep. I will never forget, many of you were here, when Maggie from Healing Room stood at this pulpit and she looked at us and said, I just want to tell you, if you don't hear, that is abnormal. Hearing God is normal. Not hearing him, that is the abnormality. That was a profound truth. And when I believe I can hear, I begin looking for kingdom solutions. Do you know this? Because Bill Winston believed that God speaks and he could hear his voice, when that lady came in, he grabbed her hands and he said, "Let's pray. Let's ask God." And they went silent. Why? Because he believed that God would speak and he would hear. I want you to think about this. God has empowered us to hear his voice with clarity. Isn't it interesting that not only does the enemy cause us to doubt that we can hear God's voice, but he actually flips it around and he goes, "You know, when you pray, God doesn't hear you anyway." He makes us believe that we can't hear God, and he makes us believe that God doesn't hear us. Would you write down number 6? God hears my prayer. 1 John 5:15 says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." He hears us. I have never forgotten years ago hearing about someone who went to see their pastor, and they were complaining to the pastor, going, "Pastor, I'm praying and I'm praying, but God doesn't hear me." I had someone sitting in my office a number of weeks ago going through crisis in their life, and they were just crying out. They were weeping. Their hands in their face, they were crying out, going, "I'm praying, I'm praying. I've been praying for 3 months. God doesn't hear me. What is wrong with God that he doesn't hear me?" I shared this story with that person, but I'll never forget it. That person was crying out, going, "God, I'm praying, but God doesn't hear me. I don't know what's wrong. It's like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and not getting through." And so after a little bit, as the pastor was listening to this person, the pastor made this statement. He says, I would like you to come with me and let's go outside. And the person said, "Okay, but why?" And the pastor said, "Well, I'll tell you when we get out there." And when they got outside, the pastor looked at the man and he said, now this may sound strange, but I would like you to begin to holler at God. I'd like you to begin to swear at God. I would like you to use every expletive you know. I want you to just begin speaking that out to God. I want you to go full bore with everything you have inside of you. I want you to do that to God." And the guy stopped there and goes, "I'm not doing that." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Well, why not?" And the guy said, "Well, if I do that, God's going to hear me and he's going to be upset with me." And the pastor said this. He goes, "Why is it that you believe if you stand out here and holler and swear at God, he will hear you, but when you're on your knees praying and crying out to God, that he doesn't hear you?" The pastor said, in that moment in the parking lot, the light went on inside that person. They'd been lied to. They got it. I got to tell you, I believe God gave that pastor a kingdom solution for that situation. When we believe God hears us, when we believe he hears my thoughts, when we believe that because he lives in me, I don't have to break through the ceiling, how far do I have to go? Right here. I don't pray outside of me. If God is in me, why do I have to break through the ceiling in order for him to hear me? And John says this: "If I believe when I pray that he hears me, then I'm able to believe for the next." Would you write down number 7? Would you write down, God will answer? God will answer. Psalm 84 verse 11 says this: "No good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. Blessed is the man who trusts in you." Can I tell you, when Jesus walked on the earth, much of the time when he was here, he spent repainting the picture of how people perceived God. That's what Jesus did. They had an image of God, a perverted picture of God, something that wasn't God at all. And Jesus is going, "I got to repaint that. I got to repaint the picture. You got to see God the way that he is." One time, and you'll remember this, he made this statement. He was talking to the followers, and he said that, he goes, "If a son asks a father for some bread, would that father give him a stone? And if he goes, if a son asked the father for a fish, would that father give him a scorpion? And then he made this statement. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your father give to you? How much does your father want you to know the kingdom solution to the problem? When my marriage is struggling and I cry out to God for a solution, I believe that not only does God have a kingdom solution, but he wants me to know that solution so that I can move from that 2 to a 12 and enjoy what he created marriage to be. Can I ask you a question? How many times when Jesus went to the Father for a kingdom solution to what he was facing, did the Father provide the answer? How many times? Every time? Can I ask you a question? Do you believe it was God's heart for Jesus to know the solution every time? He has a solution. He has a kingdom solution. And he will answer and he will make it known. And when he does, would you write down number 8? Would you write down, God has empowered me to believe. God has empowered me to believe. Would you write down Romans 10, 17, faith comes by what? Hearing. I want you to think for a moment. Almost every kingdom solution is outside of the logic reason realm. Would you agree with me? If God's ways are higher than my thoughts, his thoughts are going to be outside of my logic, my flesh realm. Kingdom solution is outside of that. When the ladies on the side of the road filled their tank with water, can I ask you this question? How were they able to believe it? How did they believe it? When Joshua heard, walk around the city one time every day for 6, and on the 7th, walk 7 times, and then stand there and shout. How were they able to believe it? When Jesus heard from the Father, have them fill all the jars full of water. They're out of wine. Have them fill all the jars full of water. And when they're full, I just want you to speak over it. How did Jesus believe it? Can I tell you this? When God gives us a kingdom solution, and I want to say this to you very clearly. I remember years of my life in the early years of ministry. Man, I would be in my study. I would be there at 12 o'clock Saturday night. I would be on the floor crying out because I didn't know what I was preaching on Sunday morning. You ask any pastor, we've all been there. Can I tell you, when I moved to a place of beginning to hear, going to God and saying, God, oh, I used to do this too. I used to try and think about everybody who's going to be in church and making sure that everything I said wouldn't offend anybody. You want to talk about schizophrenia in a pastor's life? I remember coming to the place where God said to me, Colin, all I want you to do is ask me what I want you to say on Sunday. You hear my voice and you just tell it. I'll look after all the rest. Can I tell you, when I walk out of my time with God and I have heard clearly what he wants to say, after that, there's no issue. When I hear that, it just brings a peace. It brings a confidence. It brings a freedom. When you hear it, it's there. When you don't hear it, oh! When God gives us a kingdom solution, when we hear it, outside of logic, outside of reason, outside of our understanding, but we know it was him. I want you to give him everything. Don't ask for anything in this divorce settlement. When you hear that from God, how is it we're able to believe? Let me tell you, her lawyer didn't believe it. Her family didn't believe it. Her parents didn't believe it. Her closest friends didn't believe it. How could she believe it? If I give him everything, I'll be okay. Can I tell you how? When she heard from God, There was a grace to receive and to believe. When you hear from God, it comes with the power to believe. Just like he gave us the power to believe in him, the power to believe he loves us, the power to believe he forgave us, the power to believe he's coming back again, the power to believe that we're going to spend eternity with him, we can't believe any of that on our own. It requires a power greater than us, and he gives us that power. Can I tell you, in the same way, when he gives a kingdom solution, as out there as it seems, when we hear it from him, it comes with a power to go, I believe it. I believe if we stand and shout at that wall, it'll fall. Why? Because he said it. I believe if I take that stick and throw it in the river, that metal axe head is going to rise. Why? Because he said it. I believe if I take my broken bone to church and have the pastor pray for me, I'll be healed and I won't need a cast or any. Why? Because he said it. I believe my dead boy who has been without oxygen for 45 minutes, when we anoint that cloth and we put it under his head and we declare life over him, I believe that that brain will come alive again. He will come back from the dead. Why? Because God said it. Neil Anderson, if you've known me long at all, you know that if you burned every two books in the world but two of them, Neil Anderson's Victory Over the Darkness and Bondage Breaker would be the two that I would grab apart from the Bible. Burn them all. Neil Anderson makes a statement. He goes, there are people when they're struggling to believe God, they go, you know what? God's telling, I just can't believe. He goes, no. He goes, believing is a choice. If God says you can believe it, God empowers you to believe it. If you go, I just can't believe that, you're being deceived. You're believing a lie. Because God says, I have given you the power to believe. I've given it to you. So when God wakes me up at night and shows me how to put pipes in my house so my toilet can be hidden, I believed him. Why? Because he said it. I knew it was him. He said it. And my belief was confirmed when my dad believed it too. Here's what we talked about the other day. Faith is made up of two things. One is belief. The second is what? Action. Would you write down number 9? Number 8 is God gives me the power to believe. Number 9 is God empowers me to action. God empowers me to action. James 2:14 says this, faith without works is what? I will never forget when Jane and I first came to Camrose, we heard of a healing evangelist that was going to be coming to Red Deer. And we just felt that we needed to go, so we went down to Red Deer one evening. The young black fella somewhere from Africa, I have no idea, can't remember. He gave a powerful message. I don't even know what it was all about. When he began calling people to come forward and pray, every time he prayed for somebody, he said, I want you to do something now you couldn't do before. And he explained to us what an action of faith was. He says, when I pray for you, I want you to do now what you couldn't do before. If you couldn't jump, I want you to jump. If you couldn't run, I want you to run. Whatever you couldn't do before, I want you to begin doing it. Can I ask you this? Jesus told a lame man to do what? To get up and walk. Do you know how logical that is? What did he call him to? An action of faith. For those of us who watched Chosen, we saw the scene at the Pool of Bethesda. Can I tell you what would have killed that miracle? When Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk, the guy could have said, I can't do it. He looked at the guy in the synagogue and his hand was shriveled. He walks over there and he takes his hand and he just touches it and all of a sudden it changes. Then he goes, I want you to straighten it out. The guy could have went, I can't straighten it out. I can't do that. It's shriveled. What do you ask me to do what I can't do? What was he asking? An action of faith. I will never forget the impact in the Fiji Mountains. Up there with that team from Oral Roberts University. When that fella came, I've told you the story, dragging his leg, he could not walk. As we prayed over him, the Lord said to me, go tell him to run down the road. I looked at him and said, I prayed for him. I looked and said, now, I want you to go in and run down the road, and then you come back to me. Okay? He's walking like this. This is how he walked to the front of where we were. I'm telling him, go and run down the road. The guy turns around, and I don't see him anymore. He starts going like this. About 10, 15 minutes later, he comes running back full of sweat, running full bore right into my presence. What did he do? An action of faith. He believed that he heard from God. He believed God said to him, run! The people who brought the lady who was completely blind brought her to the Fiji Mountains. We're standing there. We pray over her. As I'm praying, I'm listening. God says, after you pray, you go tell her to go into this little house here and just wash her face in the sink. Just have her wash her face and come back and see you. I finish praying. I look at her and I say, ma'am, I want you to go into the house. I want you to wash your face and then come back and see me. What does she do? She goes in the building. I'm praying for other people. She comes back out screaming. Eyes wide open, completely clear. What did she do? She could have said, Pastor, I can't see. Pastor, what difference is that going to make? Pastor, an action of faith. What if when God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to take your staff and I want you to put it into the water. What would have happened if Moses said, God, what good is that going to do? It's not going to do anything. We got the Egyptian army behind us. We got the Red Sea. And you're asking me to put a stick in the water? Can I tell you, the enemy would love us to reason our way out of kingdom solutions. If it makes no sense, we don't do it. It doesn't make sense. It's God's voice. Action of faith. Moses walks over, takes his stick, puts it in the water. Boom! 7 million Jews walk through that water. Why? Because Moses put his stick in obedience. What if when Bill Winston said, ma'am, God is telling me for you to get a jug of oil, you take it back to your street and you walk down the center of your street and you pour that oil all throughout the street and you pray while you're doing that. What if the woman would have said, Bill, what are you talking about? This is a drug gang. These are drug lords in our street. We need somebody to come and push them out. What good is it going to do to take oil and just pour it down the street? Give me a solution, Bill. Why did she do it? Because she believed that God spoke and God gave her the power to action. Can I tell you, when God gives a solution, he not only gives us the faith to believe it, he gives us the faith to act on it. And can I say this? Sometimes that action is only this, speaking a word. That's the action. Can I give you an example? First of all, can I ask you, is there power in our spoken word? How many of you believe that at all? You really believe there's power? Yeah, some of us, some in the church don't believe that. When you believe there is power in the spoken word, and can I tell you, when you believe there is power in faith-filled words, speaking God's words, words have power. We know that in the world. Speaking God's words, it's a different level of power. 7 million Jews in the desert. I love this. I'm going to preach on this sometime. Do you know when they got to that place where they had no water? How did they get there? Can I tell you how they got there? God took them there. They didn't take the wrong track. They didn't miss the boat. It wasn't Moses' wisdom. They were following the cloud by day and the fire by night, weren't they? For 40 years. They followed. God led them to a place where there was no water. Why would God do that? We'll talk about that another time. Moses goes to God and goes, God, we have no water. God goes, Moses, got a solution. Can I ask you a question? How long do you think would it take Moses to come up with the idea of speaking to a rock? How long would that have taken? If he gathered all of his elders and they had to come up with a solution to get water, how long would it have taken all of their elders to come up with, we need to speak to the rock? How long would that have taken? If they had taken all the older people, all the ones who've been alive for a long time, all the collective wisdom, and said, we need a solution to the water, how long would it have taken them to speak to the rock? How long? Let me help you. Never. Moses says, God, we got a problem. We got no water. God goes, I have a solution. Moses, see that rock over there? I want you to go over there, and I just want you to talk to it. Don't chisel it, don't hit it, don't touch it. I want you to talk to it. Can I ask you a question? If Moses would have walked over there and spoken to it, would that have been an action of faith? Yeah, we know the story. We know he was ticked off with the people. No pastor has ever been that way before. But ticked off with his people because he was angry and all their complaining. When he go to the rock, he's crying out to them. He takes his stick, boom! Now here's the amazing thing to me. Water still flowed. Even striking it in disobedience was an action of faith, and God honored it by water flowing. But here is what God wanted. God led them to a dry place, gave them a kingdom solution, and wanted 7 million people to watch Moses do one thing, speak to a rock and have it flow. Sometimes the action of faith that God calls you and I to is not to throw a stick, not to put it in the water, not to fill our gas tank up with water. Sometimes all it is to speak a word in faith. Let me give you the last one. Would you write down number 10? God does the work, not me. God does the work, not me. John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus made this statement. He said, it is my Father who does the work. It is my Father who does the work. Last week we talked about the orphan spirit that lives unconscious of God. And let me just say again, if you're at a place where the majority of your day, you're just going through and you're more conscious of yourself and what's around you and not even conscious of the presence of God, you have the orphan spirit. That can be broken in a moment, and you can come to a place of being aware of the presence of God, walking in sonship as compared to walking in orphan. It doesn't take long. With the orphan spirit, when God asks us to do something, the first thought on the inside of us is like Saul and all the Israelite army going, I can't do it. I can't beat Saul. I mean, I can't beat Goliath. We can't defeat him. But when the revelation comes that it's not me who has to beat Goliath, it's not me. When the revelation comes that it's God who will do the work, not me doing the work, everything changes. All I have to be is obedient, and God will do the work. I want you to hear this. Holy Spirit, would you allow us to grasp this? Let me give you a few examples. We talked about this already. When God asked Caesar, or let me just ask you, did God ask Moses to split the Red Sea? Is that what he asked him to do? No. What did God ask Moses to do? Put your stick in the water. That's what he asked Moses. He goes, you do that part, I'll do this part. Why is it we think that God's asking us to split the Red Sea? Did God say to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to go and I want you to knock down the walls of Jericho. That's your job. I want you to knock them all down. the strongest city, the most walled city in the promised land that you're going through. I'm putting you you're going across and you're meeting the strongest city you will ever encounter in this journey. I'm asking you to tear those walls. Is that what he asked Joshua to do? No. Can I tell you what he asked him to do? He asked him to walk. Could he walk? And then he asked him to shout. Could he shout? Hey! God said, you walk, Joshua. You shout in obedience. I'll do the work. Why is it we think that we got to tear the walls of Jericho down? Why? God said to Elijah, I want you to raise the axe head. Did God tell him to raise the axe head? No. God said, Elijah, cut a piece of wood, take that wood, throw it in there. Is that doable? I can do that. I can cut some wood. I can throw it in there. I can do that. You can do that. God said, you do what I ask you to do, action of faith. I'll do the rest. I'll do the impossible. You do the possible. I'll do the impossible. When they see that axe head rise to the top and he says, now go get the axe head, what are people doing? Whoa. Did God ask the ladies to turn water into gas? Is that what he asked them to do? No, you know what he asked them to do? He asked them to fill their tank full of water. Every logical mechanic is struggling right now. He asked the ladies to do something that was doable. Fill your gas tank full of water, and then you pray over it. I'll do the impossible. You do the possible, I'll do the impossible. Did God ask the old lady to drive the drug dealers out of her neighborhood? No. You know what he said? Ma'am, take the bottle of oil and walk down the center of your street and pray. You do that, and I'll do that. Emily Ness's daughter, 45 minutes brain dead. Did God ask her to heal her son's brain? You know what he asked her to do? He asked her to believe that God wanted to. Then he asked her an action of faith to anoint a cloth and put it under his head and declare over him healing. He asked her to put the cloth. God said, I'll reawaken his brain. When we do what he asks us to do, he does the work. He does the impossible. He makes the way where there is no way. He provides the kingdom solution. He comes up with a path we didn't even know existed. And can I ask you the dumbest question of the day? Does God have a kingdom solution for every issue in our life? God is with me and in me. He cares about me. I believe his ways are higher than mine. He is smarter than me. I believe God speaks. I believe he has empowered me to hear his voice. And I believe God hears me when I pray and that he will answer. God has empowered me to believe and he has empowered me to action. And as a result of that, he does the work and it looks like faith. We are entering into a season where we are celebrating God's greatest kingdom solution to the problem of sin and separation from him. When Gabriel stood in Mary's bedroom and he said, you will conceive and bear a son. And she goes, how can it be? And he said, the Holy Spirit will come on you. He will empower you. You will conceive. What was Mary's response? Because she knew it was God's word, God empowered her to believe it. She believed it. And here is her action of faith. Be it unto me according to your word. She could have killed it in the moment, just like Zechariah tried in the temple. She could have killed it. But her action of faith was, be it unto me and God did the impossible. A zygote was planted on the inside and began to grow into who Jesus became. Kingdom solution. Did you get anything out of this today? Dana, could I have you come? Would you bow with me? I got to tell you, I'm a little bit sad to be ending this series. I got way more out of it than you did. I'll just tell you honestly. I have so enjoyed spending time with the Lord and having him talk and just show things. And I said to him this morning, I said, God, I'm a little sad we're done. You know what he said to me? We're not done. Would you bow with me this morning? Father, I'm reminded of your word when you said that your eyes are looking over this whole earth to find those whose hearts are turned toward you. Those who don't just honor you with their words and with their lips, but those whose hearts literally are turned toward you. God, you are looking for those who believe that not only you exist, but you care. You care about the big things in our life. You care about the small things in our life. You're looking for those who humble themselves enough to go, God, I thank you for my education, my experience, all of that, but I count it all as nothing. You're smarter than me. God, you're looking for those who will turn to you and believe that you speak, that you hear them when they turn and believe that you will speak back and they will hear and they will get it. And you're looking for those who, when they hear, they believe because it's your voice. They trust you. You're looking for those who will act. They'll take the stick and they'll put it in the water. They'll stand in front of a brick wall and they'll shout because you said so. They will wait until they can get to church on Sunday because you said so. Fill their gas tank up with water. Oh my goodness. Because you said so. And because of their action of faith, you step in and do the impossible. The Red Sea splits. The axe head floats. The vehicle starts. The body is healed. The marriage is restored. She gave it all away because you told her to. You changed her husband's heart and her family was restored. Father, we're asking you don't look any farther than right here. You have been training us. You have been teaching us. You have been calling us. You have been planting on the inside of us a revelation that in every area of our life, we need your solution. We need your strategy. We need your outcome. Not just for today, but for tomorrow. We don't even know what's coming, but Father, we know tomorrow's coming. And we are so thankful that it doesn't matter what it is. You have given us the faith to turn to you. You will give us the solution. We will be obedient to what you ask, and we will watch the Red Sea split and split and split. And people go, wow. How did you do that? How did that impossible thing happen? And we'll open our mouth and tell them about you. The God who makes a way where there is no way. The God who is smarter than his children. The God who knows how to take an orphan spirit and bring them into sonship. Father, I ask today that not only would this not just disappear out of our minds and hearts, but I ask today that you would take us deeper. I pray in our quiet times you will cause your word to come alive. I pray that you'll begin to hone and bring us into maturity and understanding what it is to walk in kingdom solution. I pray for husbands and wives who begin to seek your face together, that together they would hear your voice. They would find unity. They would know it's you, and together they would be obedient to the craziest thing you ask. And watch you do the impossible. For the glory not of our name, for the glory of your name. I thank you, Father, that you have warned us that those who trust their own insight are foolish, but those who trust you will experience the impossible. Seal what you have begun. I thank you in advance for the solutions that are coming today and tomorrow. I thank you for your faithfulness, that until we see you face to face, whether we lift off the cloud or whether we die and we are raised in the last day, I thank you for your faithfulness in every circumstance. To make a way. In this world, as we face what's coming, and there seems to be no way out, there seems to be no solution, there need seems to be nothing that we can do, I thank you that you have a path that we don't know. As you empower us in the small obediences, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Would you stand with me and receive blessing of the Lord. As a child of God, I declare over you, the Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you, and today he has filled you full of his peace and his power. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everyone receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.